out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 12th of February, 2018. It's 12 o'clock New York time. It's 5 p.m. British time. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Normally we'd have Jiz Turner here, but he was unable to make it when this was being pre-recorded. So you're just going to have to put up with me for today, I'm afraid. I think we've got some interesting subjects to talk about, and they're all rather loosely linked together. I've got three here that I've got prepared for you. And I don't know whether this news has hit yet in America, but there's a huge scandal breaking over here in Britain at the moment to do with Oxfam, which is a charity. And not just Oxfam, but also Save the Children have been involved. All these charities that you hear about that go into the third world and get lots of money from white governments and basically just keep the third world from actually ever having to do anything for themselves. They just hold out their hands and these charities fill them up with whatever they ask for. And they beg from the British public with adverts showing us these poor, starving Africans that are incapable of finding their own water. Can we please provide water for them? And gullible people do, and they feel sorry for them. And it even gets so bad, as we know, that Judeo-Christians, evangelicals, like to even adopt some of these creatures as pets so they can virtue signal to their churches just how anti-racist they are. And it all goes back to these charities and the deceitful advertising that they use. Well, this scandal that's erupting here at the moment is about leading personalities within Oxfam seeing prostitutes. Now, I don't really get this because the fact they see prostitutes or not, I don't think that's really illegal. And it's in the third world, but that's what really surprises me. They've been accused of seeing prostitutes in Haiti. Now, who on earth goes to Haiti to sleep with prostitutes? If you're going to sleep with prostitutes, surely you're going to go somewhere where they have beautiful women. You're not going to go to Haiti where they've got Velcro on their heads and they're jet black and I'm not going to go into describing a Negro. You know what they look like. You know how repulsive they are. You certainly wouldn't want to sleep with one, especially not if you were the director of a huge organization like, say, the director of Oxfam for the whole of Haiti, which is what this guy's accused of doing. And the thing is, what he's been doing is offering an AIDS for aid program, because don't forget, these Negroes are also highly likely to have AIDS. You're highly likely to catch diseases from them. And yet he's accused of getting sexual favors from them in return for aid. I mean, how low can you get? Really, how low can you get? And as I say, it's not just Oxfam, it's also Save the Children. Save the Children were supposedly doing it. I think it was in Ghana they were doing it. And Oxfam were doing it in Haiti. There's been a rushed inquiry that they're going to have in the government. They're making a lot of noise about it there. And I was just looking this up online to find out a few more details about it before recording this. And I went on to AngerFan's website, and they just posted this 10 hours earlier. Now, AngerFan, they do expose the Jews, and they do expose a lot of conspiracy stuff that goes on, especially the pedophilia that goes on in the Jewish circles, but they're not particularly racial. In this article, I checked out their references, and they all check out. And what they're asking is, are some charities being run by Mossad and its friends? And are they involved in organizing child abuse rings? That's the question that they're asking. And these are the quotes that they have from the articles that they found. More than 120 workers for Britain's leading charities were accused of sexual abuse in just the past year alone. It's 2017. Fueling fears that child abusers are targeting overseas aid organisations. Now, this is the first time that I've heard of child abusers going after Negroes. Normally, they will go for white children. They're not interested in Negroes. They want white children. The children that are taken in Britain and put into the children's homes that then get abused, they're nearly always white kids. You don't hear of black kids being abused. But that's what it seems like is going on here. More than 120 people that were working for Britain's leading charities were accused of sexual abuse. And this is the bit that's being kept out of the mainstream. They're just saying it's prostitutes in the mainstream media. But what it actually looks like is it's child prostitution and it's children that they're abusing, even though they are black children. So personally, I'd rather not actually use the word child because it conjures up images of an innocent white child. And I'm not so sure that nigglets are innocent. Continuing this quote, it says, as new figures emerged revealing the extent of the crisis, Priti Patel, that's the Pakistani minister, the disgraced Pakistani minister that went to Israel recently, privately, ostensibly to collect money from them for favours in government, so she had to step down. Priti Patel, the former International Development Secretary, warned that predatory pedophiles had been allowed to exploit the aid sector. Well, she'd be the one to know, since she's just been to Israel and was talking to all these people involved in it. Because Mark Goldring, who is the boss of Oxfam, he is believed to be Jewish. And in the Oxfam sex scandal, right after all this staff were sacked, they all found new aid jobs with World Jewish Relief. And this is what's in the news at the moment. They're saying that Oxfam did not make it clear enough that these people have been sacked for sexual misconduct. But I doubt very much whether World Jewish Relief would have been bothered by that. I mean, they clearly got the jobs because the boss of Oxfam is Jewish. And surely the World Jewish Relief would have known that they were perverts that they were taking on. And Oxfam itself has pledged not to call for a boycott of Israeli goods or to support the groups that do so in exchange for Jewish support. To ensure a project with a Jewish organisation goes ahead, the aid group has pledged not to support boycotts against Israel. And this continues despite opposition. And they've even released a press release talking about this where they say Oxfam is very positive about the prospect of working in partnership with a board of deputies of British Jews on the issue of global hunger and the need to address a crisis that has its roots in social injustice. And of course, we're hearing that buzzword there, social injustice, social justice warriors. We've got Oxfam tied up with the Jewish board of deputies. We've got a Jewish boss of Oxfam. And once all these Oxfam workers are discovered to be pedophiles, straight away they get another job with World Jewish Relief. Nothing suspicious there, I'm sure. The next article I have ties in neatly with this because it's from Save the Children. And Brendan Cox, this deals with. Brendan Cox, it was married to Joe Cox, the MP that got murdered last year by a disgruntled council tenant who was going to be moved out of the council house that he'd lived in with three generations of his family to make way for Syrian refugees. So he was understandably angry about this, and he was a little bit mental, and he stabbed Joe Cox to death. And the BBC and the government jumped on it straight away and thought, well, we can make lots of capital out of this. We'll say he was a far-right nationalist and that it was because he was radicalised. We don't know how he was radicalised because he doesn't appear to have ever gone online. But somehow he was radicalised, Thomas Mayer was, and he murdered Joe Cox just because he was a nationalist, just because the government tell us he was a nationalist. We had a look at some of his videos and turned out he'd been watching Schindler's List and World at War. So that's good enough. That's good enough for the BBC and the government. He's a neo-Nazi. Well, he killed Joe Cox. And ever since then, Brendan Cox, her husband, I mean, the poor man, he's got to raise two children on his own now. But he seems to have made it his reason for living to attack nationalists. He's an ultra lefty. All the money that was sent in for Joe Cox, he sent to Hope Not Hate. That's the group that pay for spies to infiltrate nationalist groups and film them with secret cameras, saying exactly the same as they say on their YouTube channels anyway. Somehow they think that's a good use for the money that was sent in by these people that felt sorry for these children. He donated it all to Hope Not Hate. And he's been involved in charities for quite some while. And he was sacked from Save the Children for sexual impropriety with the women there. And this latest news from Brendan Cox is from somebody that used to work with him. And it says here, and this is from the Daily Mail, a new charity sex scandal erupted last night after it emerged that the husband of murdered Labour MP Joe Cox was once accused of groping a senior US government official. The woman reported Brendan Cox to American police, claiming he assaulted her late at night at Harvard University, although Mr. Cox strongly denies the allegation. Her complaint came soon after Mr. Cox quit as a senior executive with the Save the Children in 2015 campaign, following separate claims of inappropriate behaviour towards staff. It just seems to be rampant in these charities. And it used to be that charity was something that you did. You gave charity to people that you felt deserved it. You would help out people that needed help. You would help out those close to you. They say charity begins at home. You'd look after the people around you. That's charity. It's a great virtue to be charitable. And what they've done is they've managed to change that. They managed to turn it into some kind of business, a business proposition, where we have charities that collect people's money so that they can feel as if they've done something. So they lose that guilt that they have from realizing that they have it so much better than everyone else. And this is particularly the boomer generation. They will give out money to these charities and think that that's it. They no longer have to care anymore about the people in their own country because they've given a little bit to charity. But the money that even goes to the charities doesn't actually go to help people. Most of the time it goes out of the country. And now we find out that these people that are running these charities are not doing so because they want to help people, but they're doing so because they want to be in a position of power over people that are desperate. I mean, these are desperate people. They may be foreigners, they may be Negroes, but they are desperate people. And these people that are joining these charities are doing so because they want to take advantage of that and they want to prey on these children. They want to abuse them. And this Brendan Cox, where he was a senior executive with Save the Children, he thought he was just going to be able to get away with this. He thought he was just going to be able to grope this senior US government official and she wouldn't say anything. Because he's the head of this charity, you see. And this, again, this ties in with Jimmy Savile. He used to help out with a lot of charities. And they knew what he was doing. They knew that he was abusing these children. But they thought it would be too damaging to the good name of the charity if they exposed him. If that came out, it would look bad on the charity. So instead of going to the police and saying Jimmy Savile is a pedophile, they just covered it up. And it looks to me like they're still doing the same here. Like the Save the Children. This has been going on for 2 years since the husband, Joe Cox, was inappropriately groping this woman. And nothing's been said about it. He just left. And when he left, it was following other claims of inappropriate behaviour by him towards staff. And then you've got this... these 120 people, 120 workers from Britain's leading charities that are just left in the last year alone. And yet this is the first that we are hearing about it. The first we're hearing about these predatory pedophiles that are in the aid sector, preying on these weak people. Now, this other article that I've got for us today, this, although it's not to do with the charity sector, it's to do with one of the countries that are on the charity sector's list, and that's South Africa. And this didn't have to happen in South Africa. It happens all the way across Africa. And one of the things that really gets me is people will criticize Christians and say, "Ah, yes, but you don't care if a Christian is white or black, and you're more friendly to a black Christian than you are to a white non-Christian, and Christianity is somehow multicultural because we've got black people that call themselves Christian." Well, we've got black people that call themselves British. They've got a bit of paper saying they're a British citizen, but they're not actually British. They're not white. And it's the same with these Christians that call themselves Christians in Africa. I know some people might say, "Oh, well, you know, they're just a little bit behind us. They're just a little bit backward. They worship God in a different way." No, they're completely batshit crazy over there. This article is actually from the BBC News as well. It's not some sensational nationalist article. And the title of it is "South Africa's Doom Pastor Found Guilty of Assault." A South African self-styled prophet who sprayed his followers with the insecticide Doom has been found guilty of assault, local media report. Lethbo Rabalego, widely known as the Doom Pastor, was also found guilty of contravening the Agricultural Stock Remedies Act, a court ruling said. So he's been spraying his followers in the eyes with insecticide, which, looking at the pictures, it looks pretty horrific experience, but they've been willing to go through with that, being sprayed in the face with this bug spray. Pretty much the same as cyanide. I guess these people didn't die. I guess it puts paid to the Jewish myth of 6 million Jews being killed with insecticide. This preacher, this self-styled prophet, is spraying his followers in the face with this gas. And they've done him on one count for that, but the other count that they did him with was contravening the Agricultural Stock Remedies Act. So I guess he wasn't keeping proper records of just how many cans of insecticide spray that he was keeping. Rabalego, or Rabalago, claims the insect repellent he used in 2016 could heal cancer and HIV, possibly by killing the patient. And then there's no more cancer, there's no more HIV because there's a dead patient. Only it didn't kill them, because most of them still appear to be alive because they've taken him to court. A sentence is yet to be handed down after the verdict by Mokopong Magistrates Court in Limpopo Province. On Friday, Magistrate Franz Mahudi told the court the state had proved its case beyond reasonable doubt that the five people who laid assault charges were violated, South Africa's national broadcaster SABC reports. So up until that point, it was obviously a question of whether he'd actually done anything wrong. Whether he had actually done anything wrong to these people that he was spraying in the face with insecticide. They actually had to take this to court to prove that they were being violated. The magistrate said the fact that the complainants were sprayed on their faces with Doom makes this offence the worst of its kind. He also revealed some of them had suffered detrimental side effects, I bet they did, like coughing for more than 7 months. After the incident, I'm surprised some of them weren't blinded, permanently blinded. Rabalego, who runs the Mount Zion General Assembly, was arrested after it emerged he had used the product to cure his followers of various ailments in 2016. And Rabalego, the Doom prophet, he's actually on Facebook. He has a Facebook here. He has a Mokopong night prayer with Prophet Lethbo, and this is his prayer I guess they probably sing it at the Mount Zion General Assembly. "By my name he shall drive out demons. By my name you shall pick up snakes. Anything you touch receives favour because of the anointing upon you. Doom is just a name, but when you speak to it, it becomes a healing product. It does. People get healed and delivered through doom. It's not by might nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit. We give God the glory. So that's their prayer to the insecticide that they spray in people's faces, and that cures them of AIDS and cancer. I guess it's marginally better than raping babies to cure themselves of AIDS. That's quite a big thing in Africa, is raping a baby up to 2 years old, 2 years of age, and that will cure you of AIDS. And of course, the albinos, the Negroes that don't actually have any melanin in their skin, their body parts are particularly efficacious. Whether they're Christians or Muslims or what, it really doesn't matter. I mean, these crazy Negroes will do these things to each other, regardless of what religion they're actually following. And then we get some pictures here, and we can see this young Negro gazing into the pastor's face while he sprays him with a cloud of this insecticide. In photos circulating on social media, he was seen spraying the insecticide directly into the eyes and various body parts of his congregants. Well, I'm glad they haven't got photographs of him spraying it into people's body parts on this BBC article. At the time, he told the BBC's Nomsa Masiko in Johannesburg he had sprayed the face of one woman because she had an eye infection, and claimed the woman was just fine because she believed in the power of God. Rabalego's case had been delayed on a number of occasions, most recently when his lawyer forgot his glasses. Perhaps he should have sprayed his lawyer in the face with some. That might have cured his eyesight, and he may never have needed to wear glasses again. South Africa has seen a wave of incidents where church members have been subjected to unorthodox rituals which reportedly healed them of various elements. And we then have a list of some of these pastors and what they've done. Lethabo Rabalego, Mount Zion General Assembly, posted a photo on Facebook which showed what looked like a large speaker on top of a person lying face up on the ground. In another photo, he is seen sitting on the speaker while a person remains underneath. So I guess he's trying to crush them to death. Crush the demons out of them. In 2016, he is photographed spraying insecticide into the faces of his followers, saying that it will heal them. Next up, we have Lesego Daniel from Rabboni Ministries. Possibly should be Rabbi Ministries, Rabboni Ministries. The self-styled prophet in Pretoria instructed members of his congregation to drink petrol. In 2014, Facebook images on the church's website also showed his followers eating grass and flowers on his orders. And they're just like us, aren't they? Just like European Christians, these black Christians over there in South Africa. Penuel Munguni from End Times Disciples Ministries. He was dubbed the Snake Pastor by local media. The 25-year-old man of God reportedly started his church in 2014 after training under Lesego Daniel. In 2015, Facebook images showed the self-proclaimed prophet feeding his members stones, which he claimed would turn into bread. That same year, other images emerged of him feeding his followers snakes and rats, which they claimed had been turned into chocolate. I suppose that's preferable to actually feeding them other Negroes, which still goes on. People say, oh, they're not all cannibals. That hasn't happened for centuries. No, that still regularly happens. Every year we come across articles where Negroes are selling human flesh in restaurants or butchery stalls somewhere on the dark continent. He has since been chased out of the Shoshanguve, north of Pretoria, where his church was located. And that's just three of them. That's just three of them in Africa. And we have the same problem over here in London. They often find bits of bodies in the Thames and elsewhere from these dead Negroes that they've put through rituals where they hammer nails into them, set fire to them, make them drink petrol, all sorts of twisted, sickening things that they think will exorcise the child of a demon. And this is what passes for Christianity in Africa. And this isn't something new. I mean, Christianity was brought to Africa, 300 years ago, 400 years ago? They were taught by the white man, and yet this is how it ends up. If you look in Haiti, again, taught by the white man, and what have you got over there in Haiti now? Well, you got voodoo. You cannot just... The black man cannot understand Christianity in the way that white people understand Christianity. And if there isn't a white man there to enforce it, then this is what they end up doing. Drinking petrol, eating rats, spraying insecticide into each other's faces. And this is what's now happening in white countries where we've brought these people over. There are these large evangelical black churches in London where all this sort of thing goes on. I mean, we often hear about female genital mutilation in Islam. We hear about the black Islamics that are in Britain that are all slicing the bits off their daughters and their sisters. And not one of them's ever been arrested for it. At the moment, they've got an awareness campaign of female genital mutilation, but none of them have been arrested for it in Britain. But what is it even doing in Britain? And there's not just Islamics with their female genital mutilation. There's also these black evangelical Christians with their exorcism ceremonies. Absolutely twisted and warped. Nothing whatsoever to do with Christianity. I guess following Christian laws is going to be of benefit to them. But they're clearly not going to be able to understand the spiritual side of it. And I know there are some people on Radio Aryan that think that blacks can be Christians, but I'm sure they don't think that they can be Christians in quite the same way that white people are, because they are not going to be able to understand it in the way that we do. But as I say, it is going to benefit them if they follow the Christian law, the same as it's going to benefit anyone to look right and left before crossing the road. I mean, the laws of the Bible are common sense. They are based on the natural order. But you can't just leave blacks to follow these laws themselves. It will always degenerate and deteriorate back into the way that they have always lived. And none of this comes from the Bible. Drinking petrol, rats and snakes, that doesn't come from the Bible. That comes from inside the Negro's mind itself, if you can actually call it a mind. I guess you could say they're creative, at least, I guess. Pretty creative imagination there to spray each other in the face with insecticide and think that it's going to cure AIDS and cancer. Anyway, that pretty much brings us to the end of the podcast today. I don't know what else we're going to hear about these charities, whether we're going to hear more scandals from them. But when you do hear about them, just remember to check out to see if there's that Jewish connection there. Because we do know that wherever there is any kind of scandal or a conspiracy of silence or anything degenerate going on, you can rest assured that you won't have to go far to find a Jew involved. Anyway, I'll be back tomorrow with Nat Dainlaw. Hopefully, I'll be back next Monday with Jez Turner. So thank you very much for listening. God bless and hail victory.